I wanted to take a minute today at the beginning of the podcast and say thank you to our sponsor, Huber Engineered Woods. Huber has actually been a sponsor of the podcast since 2020 when we decided to start this little endeavor. Without our sponsors, this content is probably not something that happens. But I think the best part about having Huber as a partner on this is it's an incredibly authentic alignment. Peter, Steve, and I all use Huber Woods. I've been using Advantech Subfloor for coming on probably 21 years now. I've been using Zip System and Zip System with the insulation on the back, the Zip R, since 2013. It's a system that I believe in. That systems approach where things play well together. They have design parameters that allow you to use their system for what you're working on. It works. Their tech support's there. Their knowledge is there. I've never had an issue with their product, and it's a great thing that they've decided to sponsor the podcast. So thank you, Huber Engineered Woods.
Howdy, y'all. Steve Basic with the Unbuild It podcast. Guess who I got here? I'm a good friends again. Jake Bruin.
Hello, hello.
And the Peter Yost.
So happy to be here.
Are you?
I am.
How do you measure happiness?
The width of my smile.
Wow. Ooh. The fact that you had an answer that quick is okay. I really don't care if you're happy.
My measurement's a lack of sadness, not a lack
of sadness. It's not how happy I am. It's how not sad.
How sad that sounds. That you're defining happiness
by how not
the
sad.
Absence
I am.
Of sadness.
The absence of sadness.
It's whether or not at the end of a deep breath there's a little quiver to the.
I find it funny. It's not funny, and I know funny.
Yeah, sure. Funny. Okay.
All right. So on today's podcast, what I would like to discuss is precast foundation systems.
Ooh.
What do you think of that?
It's a deep subject.
It's a deep subject.
Wow. You've been sitting on that one.
He has been. He's probably been thinking about that one. I mean, it's a concrete answer.
I don't want to play. I don't want to play this. Can we?
Oh, so the absence of...
Does this conversation have any bearing?
Ooh. All right. I'm going to get on with a footing. And then we'll build from there.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Precast foundations.
I would like to point out that I was not part of any of that. I just sat here with a growing sadness the entire time that happened. Continue.
Precast foundations. There is a hardness to your attitude. But boy. All right, precast foundation systems. So I must say I had used them before back in like the late 90s, if you can believe it. We did three demonstration projects in the lovely city of Flint, Michigan, and we did superior walls up there.
Was that when you were building science corporation?
Yeah, building science.
Oh, so this was part of Building America?
Yeah, then? It was part of Building America. It was a guy, he had three lots.
Cool.
And they were very simple houses. I want to say like the foundations were 24 by 40, and they were a rectangle basement. So it was, you know, probably six walls or something like that, eight walls made up the foundation system. So it was pretty easy.
You have my interest from a builder's perspective. Sounds easy to bid.
Sounds easy to bid, right? But we recently, to just give you the context, we just recently used their system. We did it in a basement where we had a little over 400 linear feet of foundation wall. I would say there's probably on the order of about 16 or 18 corners in the foundation. So it's not one that just goes down, turns the corner, and comes back.
So when you say a precast foundation system, are you know the foundation has two parts, a footing and a
What I'm saying is precast, meaning that it was made somewhere off site,
okay,
and then trucked and put into place.
And when you say it was made
concrete,
the panels.
So the foundation system was broken down to panels. The panels were cast somewhere off site, put on a truck, trucked out, lifted by crane, set on a stone base, and we're going to go through all the details, and basically interlocked or bolted together to make this 400 foot plus linear footage of foundation system. On the back side of the house, to complicate things even more, we had a full walkout. So we had a frost wall underneath that, because they can only pour to a certain height for transportation reasons. So the back wall was actually a double or two pour wall. So we had a cold joint there. And
are both sections poured by the precast company?
Yes.
Or is there?
Okay. No. Everything was precast there.
So in addition to vertical joints for the,
there was a horizontal joint along the, I don't know, we're probably talking
100 feet.
Yeah. 100 feet of back wall.
I didn't catch that. I assumed that that was the one piece that was poured on site.
No, that was all precast 4 foot wall. All of the internal footings were cast off site and brought.
So when you say internal footings, the panel is includes the footing section.
Well, the panel is the perimeter of the foundation. The footing is where we had lolly columns in the basement.
Point loads.
Those footings.
Sorry.
Were cast off site. So they're anywhere from, I think, 24 inches square to, I think we had one that was 36 inches square.
Yeah, I didn't. That was one of the first questions that I asked Josh, the GC homeowner, was like, but these didn't come from the precast company. He was like, they did. And I was like, but they're different sizes. And he was like, there's different loads. And I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like,
yeah, they were
they looked like they had been formed on site because there were a bunch of different sizes.
So they do the fully engineered system. The interesting thing is that we had to provide them the vertical reactionary loads at all of the footings and all of the columns. So they took the responsibility of engineering their system, but they did not do the calculations for the loads above. They took everything and provided the reaction in their system. So we had to, our engineer had to do that.
Do you think that's just not wanting the responsibility, or do you think it's like, well, that's wood, we don't do that?
Yeah, it's probably that. Yeah, and they don't want to sit there and have to trace and go through all of the drawings and stuff. They want to deal with the foundation plan. But they did all of the engineering, the shop drawings, all of that for their system. So we get that engineering out of their system.
We can say the manufacturer's name.
It's too. Superior Wall.
And we're not avoiding saying their name necessarily. No. I don't know of anybody else who's doing what they do. So they might be the only game in town. They might not. Assuming anybody else's system works in a very similar way.
But I, you know, the thing that I didn't know, I don't know, is the place that precast it, I'm not quite sure that that place is owned by Superior Wall. I think Superior Wall might subcontract out the casting, and then they just have
a number of different plants. I think in Pennsylvania or that area.
But this place was out of Pennsylvania.
But they have plants pretty much.
Yeah, Will King uses them down south.
Yeah,
in Alabama, he's done a number of projects with them.
I mean, it's just a mud formula and methods.
Yeah,
it'd be easily duplicatable across the country.
So going into the project, I had somewhat of a weak perspective on them, but I just wasn't too enthused about it. I mean, the idea is cool, but I was like, I don't know if it beats a wall that we would do here.
Okay. I've never done precast foundation. Have you been involved with one?
Well, I was telling Steve earlier.
Set experience level here.
So when I was at the NHB Research Center in the early 90s, we had a program called Advanced Housing Technology Program, and different innovative building systems would get a grant for us to study their feasibility. And one of the companies that was in the Advanced Housing Technology Program was Superior Walls, because it was a very new technology at that time. And a good friend of ours, Dan Cautley, who's a mechanical engineer, was the project manager on the Superior Walls project, and they used them in several homes to basically do an objective review of how the system worked.
Okay.
And subsequently, right after that, Dan Cautley built a house in Maryland, not that far from the research center, and he used Superior Walls too, because he wanted to get practical experience with them. And I think one of the other things about, maybe you're going to mention this, is the PSI of the concrete is a lot higher. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's at a high enough density that it doesn't support capillary movement of water through the concrete.
These were 5,000 PSI, and they have a waterproof warranty on the panels.
They do. Yeah. Yes. So somewhere in the, I thought it was higher than 5,000 PSI.
I thought it was like 7,000.
That's what I thought too. But
supposedly it's only 5,000. So they might do some other kind of additive in the system.
Yeah.
So this is going to be slightly out of order, but you just said waterproof on the panels.
Yes.
That's the reason that, and lack of knowledge, that's the reason that we've never seriously looked at using it in my market, is that I'm really worried about the seam treatment.
Right.
Because the panel's not going to leak. It's concrete. It's high-strength concrete, high PSI. The weak part is where they glue two of them together on the job site with...
Yeah, and I was there when they put the panels together. I think they did two beads on the interior face of the panel.
Yeah, but it's a gasketed system as well as sealant, right? So there's a compression gasket. Yeah, I think
there is a compression gasket that's in the panel.
Yep.
And then they do an outside bead of sealant, which I would assume that's somewhat of a sacrificial layer. Like, let's stop 90% of the water.
So there's a surface treatment and then an obscured pathway between the panels.
Basically. These gaskets they use are, you know, very, very substantial, you know, highly compressed.
Right. And I think it's bolted together. I mean, it gets bolted together up at the top, at the bottom, and on the outside, there were some locations, which it was interesting to try and understand, like, why did they do that on this corner, but not that corner? You know, things like that. But there were some places where they had an exterior, like, threaded rod to draw the corner together.
Okay.
Stuff like that. The other thing that's really cool about these is that they came as an insulated panel to R21 already.
Yep.
And that we're using their X1 Plus. So they have, like, their X1, which is, like, an R13 or 15, something like that. You have to go and look. But that we use that one in the garage. Because we were struck with the dilemma of, we had a garage, we could pour an 8 or 9 foot wall on the back and then backfill against it. And the homeowner, when he was talking to Superior Wall, they said, why don't you just make that a room and we'll make it a walkout and turn it into panels? And they said,
we'll just sell you some more stuff.
Yeah, we'll just sell you some more stuff. And we did. We got concrete planks now that are the floor of the garage and the ceiling of the workshop. But he just gained another, like, I don't know, 1,400 square feet of space underneath the garage.
For less than $25,000.
Yeah, it's probably less than that. And one of the things, I don't know all the numbers. I know what the cost was for the foundation system. It was probably, if we did it as a cast in place, it was probably maybe about $20,000 more. But it's already insulated. And ready to go. It's already waterproofed. It has the warranty on it.
Yeah, and real quick, it becomes not $20,000 more, I would say.
Yeah, and we did the concrete plank and the basement under the garage. So it's probably close to, and
you can do it in any kind of weather.
Because if I took that out of the garage and we just did like a 4 foot frost wall, I'm comparing it to the Build Show Build Boston project, it would probably be close, maybe about like 5% more than a cast in place wall. But again, it's already insulated. It's ready for drywall in the basement, right?
And you don't need a concrete footing because you just put it on a gravel bed and the footing is at the base of the panel.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things, so they had a subcontractor there who does all of their installation in New England. He was a pretty intelligent guy. And talking with him, I said, you know, what are the bearing requirements? He said, well, we're allowed to have it span up to 4 feet, which I thought was quite a bit. But he's like, that's what they can do. He goes, it's extremely rare that he's like, I don't even think we've ever gone over a foot where this thing is
spanning. You're saying there can be. But voided footing.
Yeah. So if like the ground fell away and there was a 3 or 4 foot void from this bearing point to that bearing point, it still doesn't.
It would bear.
Yeah. It still doesn't hurt the panel. That's
integrity in the panel.
Which is pretty cool. And I mean, it's a whole series of like counterforts, right? It's basically a ribbed panel. If you think of a T system on a parking garage floor, if you just turn that vertically, scaled it down. that's what you're getting here, right? Yeah. All those ribs are the strength. You carve out all of the wall that really isn't doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really engineered.
Yeah. It's so it's all already insulated, R21. And they had two wires at about 30-inch, two wire holes at about 30 inches and two more at probably about 72 inches, somewhere around 5.5, 6 feet. So there's four wire holes in every rib that are already ready for wiring. And each one of those holes is probably worth two 12 wires, maybe three 14s, something like that. Yeah. So, and it's a great system. It doesn't come on a footing. And if you, I don't know if this is probably going to be after our hydrology. So if you listen to the hydrology podcast, then when I said, hey, we're going to be talking about that system. Well, here you go. You know, one of the beauties here on this project is that it didn't have a concrete footing. So because it didn't have a concrete footing and it relies on a stone pad for its compressive footing and compressive reaction, that stone footing allowed us to provide water migration basically underneath the house and solve for that. So, you know, this is where when you understood exactly what the problem is, we have water coming down off the hill. It's going to come at the house. How can we move water under the house? Well, the superior wall was pretty much a no-brainer in that respect because it didn't put in that footing. If we did a traditional one, the question would be, how do I get water through the footing, right? Because it would be this kind of barrier type system. But this is the superior wall is kind of an anti-barrier underneath, and it allows for that free flowing of water underneath it. But I got to tell you, I mean, 400 feet, I was there when they set the last panel. This thing closed on a dime. Like the joint, it was damn near a perfect fit. It was a right angle. I mean, it wasn't like something was skewed or off a little. So you'd definitely
use it again.
I would definitely use it again. I mean, it was a pretty slick system.
From a builder's perspective, I save production days, which I'm not a builder who's worried about the carrying cost of the job is $300 a day that we have it open. So if we get it closed 3 days earlier, I make $600 or $900, you know, not that. Production days. I mean, it helps with schedule just from a, like, I look better at my job.
Yeah.
It's one more way that I can control costs.
Yeah, because you have one contract price. They're doing kind of, they're showing up and
they're bringing it for that cost. Yeah. It's no different than buying a TV. Like, they've said, this is the quote. This is what it's going to cost. There's no, we got rained out 3 days. We're going to have somebody come over there and dig the footings.
Or we have an extra day with the crane or something. It's like, no.
I thought we'd be able to get a truck in there, and now we can't. Like, there's more planning that goes into it.
But it was about 2.5 days to set the, I don't know, it's like 424 feet or something, a foundation wall. And about 100 feet of it was twice.
Width or, you know, how long can the panel be?
I think the longest ones we had were probably on the order of about 16 feet or so.
Is that right? I didn't realize you could make the panels that long.
They were good size. But you got to remember, there's not a lot of weight. It's a 10-inch wall, but it's a ribbed wall.
Right, right.
So the reduction in concrete, it's probably on the order of 40% of a site cast 10-inch wall.
Yeah.
When you subtract the void and the insulation, because it looks thicker than it actually is. Like the amount of concrete in this thing is not a whole lot. And, you know, they have the ability because they're casting this off site. Like, we can do a haunch on the inside, which we did at the workshop. So we did concrete planks for the basement floor, and then we'll pour a topping slab. And so we have that system, but the walls are they develop a haunch so that you can set that system in there. And if you wanted to do, say, an exterior brick ledge or whatever, then they can cast that haunch too. So it was a pretty slick system. We have another project where I think we're going to look at using them.
Jake, you asked about the gasketing in the ceiling system. I don't remember when Dan did his work, what sort of, you know, durability testing you can do for that, you know, at accelerated weathering. I don't know what you could do, but they've been around now for quite a while. So,
well, like I said, we used them in 98. When that was in their first time on
the AHT program at Energy Research Center, that was in the early 90s. So that's 30 years of being around. So we should be able to get some longitudinal data. empirically about how long these systems and what kind of problems, if any, there may have been. Because that would be, I mean, you've got these seams that are every panel joint. So got to work.
It's the same thing. We recently had a podcast where we talked about open joint cladding and why aren't people using it.
Mm-hmm.
That fear of what it is and the lack of knowledge. I looked at one precast job and went, we could totally do this. Why are we not doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
and you see the, like the traditional casting of a wall, you, in your mind, you immediately think, oh, well, if I cast it, I get that nice continuous
monolithic.
But the reality is I have a monolithic concrete foundation wall that had a crack in it and leaked.
It had a crack. It was porous to begin with. Yeah. That's,
and it cracked and had a leak, and we had to go through and solve for that.
And
so,
and I can imagine that when you go to put your mud sill or your sill beam in, that this is an engineered panel. It's not anything like the top of what happens on a concrete foundation.
Yeah, because the whole foundation system is getting, like, it's literally set on stone, right? And they perfectly level that. They had a builder laser out there. Micro
adjustments. They can tamp it. They can shovel a tiny bit out. They're working in small sections.
Yeah, and how they leveled it. I have a bunch of videos up where I do this. I'm going to have one on the Build Show Network where we go through the whole install. But how they leveled it was quite intriguing to watch. So they had these pipes that were about, say, 2 feet long. And they set them on top of the stone. And then on top of it, they had like a fence hammer. Have you ever seen that? Like where you can slam posts in, right? If you're making a fence. Well, it was the same thing. But instead of driving a post, it was driving a little saddle that they put over the pipe. Okay. So there was a guy that had the laser on.
The beepy thing?
The beepy thing. The laser. And he would set it on the pipe. And nope, not yet. And they would hammer it a little. And then all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep. So the pipe was at the right level. So then all they did was they'd have those pipes in, say, like 3 or 4 foot increments, probably more like 4 foot. They screeded the stone on the top of those pipes. And then they simply pulled the pipe out because the thing can span 4 feet. So it can certainly span the inch and a half of where the pipe was.
Wow.
So how you do a sand laid patio. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. So they screeded it, and then they just set the panel on it, and it was perfectly level. And when we came back a couple weeks later to set the floor assembly, I asked the framer, like, when he put all the mud sills, I said, how was the foundation? He was damn near spot on.
Wow.
Slightly off topic, but is screeded the past tense of screed? Or they did screed it?
They screed it.
I think that it's one of those that in both the present tense and past tense is the same word.
That's what I think.
Screed and screed.
But I could be wrong.
Okay. I'm not here for an English lesson.
It shows us how close your attention.
Don't take an English lesson from me.
Yeah, paying really close attention.
Normally you talk pretty darn good.
I'm getting better at it. But it, you know, overall, after having done this system, it really did kind of changed my mind a little bit about it. Like all the window openings were framed. We gave them the rough openings. They all have wood bucks on the inside. So you're ready for attachment. We have a couple instances where they had to insert a sheer wall perpendicular to the exterior wall because it was just too long. But at the end of the sheer wall, it finishes in a wood buck. So if you wanted to continue and say close off a room or something, you don't have to. I mean, it's just that level of thinking. Yeah. Like, you could finish it in concrete and go get a 2x4 and shoot it on. Yep. But they can do all this stuff in the form and send it out there. And the thing's ready for attachment. Like you can frame a wall, stand it up, nail it off.
And Jake, you know, they started with one plant. There's now at least a dozen across the United States.
I don't think there's a part of the United States you can't.
Well, yeah, I was going to when we. Post a
if you can get them where Will King builds.
A resource.
A resource.
Yeah, but there might be something in like Wyoming, Idaho, where maybe we can't get one here.
Yeah, but anyway, and it's been around now for 30 years. That doesn't prove the technology's robust, but it has expanded in there.
I do know one of the numbers. So going from 9 foot to 10 foot, what do you think the cost in 400 feet of panel, what do you think the cost is worth?
I know the answer.
Well, I feel pretty left out.
It's probably like $3,500 to go up that foot.
Almost nothing in the grand scheme. Crazy. A foundation that probably costs
the cost of building the panel. It's that is cool.
It's mud.
That is
just
cool.
Mud.
If we asked a cast guy in our neighborhood to go from a 9 foot to a 10 foot panel, it's probably like $20,000-$25,000.
Interesting.
In his world.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very interesting.
So I thought, and so the homeowner's like, when he asked that, the guy said, you know, hey, do you want to do 10 foot panels? And he's like, well, how much more is that? Like $3,500, whatever. It's like, yeah, why not? It's like a no brainer. You go in this basement, it's like, wow, I would die for this basement.
Yeah.
You know,
says the guy who grew up with a dirt floor basement.
I used to play with him, play my trucks. I took a picture. I have a picture. I just saw it. I was rummaging through something and I had a
picture of you playing in the basement.
Well, there was a little corner that we would go down. Our washer and dryer was down there. And there was like a concrete pad in part of it. My mom would go down and do laundry. I would go down and I had like half a dozen trucks and the dirt
radon
pile.
Baby.
And I was a little radon baby. I'd sit there and play next to the sewer pipe and drive under it with my dump truck. And But anyways, so
here are the things that come to mind. Besides the idea of like, I'm open to using precast now. If I were a production builder and I could save days where it was just like, man, the matter of 5 days worth of foundation work saves me a couple grand on every house and I'm building 500 houses this year. Certainly it has to pay for itself at that point. Even if
I don't think there's many production builders.
Let me just run because we're
not building basements.
We're much higher. I mean, we're pretty far along in the timeline. So let me just give you a quick like update. We could talk about the other ones in future podcasts, but the foundation took about 2.5 days to set. There was probably, I mean, developing the site that's a tough one because
happens on both cases.
It's going to happen on both cases, right? And even putting in the stone bed and all of that. But putting the foundation walls in, 2.5 days to put that in. Putting the planks in, that was a morning. So probably about 5 hours to plank the garage.
To do a suspended slab.
Yeah.
The floor assembly was about 3,300 wood frame floor assembly. They set that in 3 hours and 10 minutes. I was there for the whole thing. I was unbelievable. By lunchtime, floor was in. The walls were probably about 2 days, I think, to do the exterior walls. Frame walls. Yeah, the interior, maybe another day and a half. Let's call that 4 days, right? So you're four days with the walls and the floor. You're 3.5 on the foundation and 1/2 a day. So you're up to about 8 working days and you have all the walls framed and sheathed. And then roof trusses and sheathing, we'll give it another 2 days. You're talking somewhere around 2 weeks.
Pretty close to weather.
To put that thing under a roof.
Yeah. You don't have windows in yet.
We don't have windows. We have them. We just haven't installed them yet. They're working on a few of the insulation and Monopoly style housing details that we wanted to do on the project. But the reality is you're somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks of having a fully enclosed project. But I think the time saver is you're building the foundation wall while they're developing the site, right? So you're not waiting.
You're overlapped.
There's a lot of overlap. The floor assembly was getting created somewhere in upstate New York while we were putting the foundation walls down. And the walls were also being built while we're putting foundation walls down. So then they just get trucked out and immediately installed. I mean, that floor assembly, it left the plant that morning. It arrived on site at like 9 o'clock and it was installed by noon.
I know you're really interested in CLT. Would this be a good fit? To do,
yeah. I mean, it sounds like it to me
for CLT as well as interesting. CLT being cross laminated timbers.
Yeah.
So I have two more instances in which my brain immediately went to. We have a mutual friend, a builder that builds in a market where cast concrete just doesn't exist.
Right.
It's a block foundation market.
Mm.
I've had conversations with their company about how do you even do this because nobody in their market does. Basement foundations. It's all
no, and they're not doing. They're block. Not doing a Habitat for Humanity house.
Yeah,
they're putting a $15 million house on concrete block foundation walls.
And it's like regionally speaking, now we have what I have to assume is a higher quality foundation than a filled block. No offense to the block masons. Or, like we talked about in a previous podcast, how cold is it and can you pour concrete?
Right.
Like, if we can truck it in, it doesn't matter what the temperature is the day that they're setting it, as long as people can work outside. Like, I'm worried about my timeline. My crew doesn't know how to do it, or it's impossible to do it where we live, be it a labor or a temperature standpoint. Like, there's a... I'm not sure why we're not doing more of it. I'm certainly open to exploring it. I just need a client that's willing to let us try. Or an architect that's going to convince one of my clients to let us try.
No, I agree. I mean, it definitely, and you know, going out from here, we can talk about the wood framing and stuff in another podcast. But the whole offsite build, I was like, yes, I don't know. That is not my conversation anymore.
Yeah.
These guys. And I will say the guys, I'll give a big shout out, TB Builds. They're the guys that were the subcontractors to Superior Wald. So they did all the install. That's all they do. They run around New England installing Superior Wall systems. They had all the tools, the tricks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
These guys were sharp. Yeah. They ran around. Everybody, there was like four or five of them. Every one of them had a job. They were on it. Nobody was ever standing still. And it was.
Well, like it or not, you get a crew that works together every day doing basically the exact same thing. Yeah. They're going to be better at it.
It's a little orchestra.
Especially just an engineered system like that.
Running around and doing their things. And there was nothing. The other nice thing about it is there wasn't like nothing they wouldn't solve for. It's like, we want a workshop in the basement. Can we do a stairwell? Like, we want to do stairs up to the garage so you don't have to go out and go around. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll carve out and we made a little stairwell. So now we have a stairwell there. Yeah. We have doorways and everything where we want them. We have a regular garage door.
For the research, you're going to have to give me who I should talk to on the technical side.
I will get you that.
Cool.
But yeah, it was a totally positive experience.
Precast, a superior approach to foundations.
Oh, God. Wow. Ugh. Man, you cemented. I thought we were done. You cemented that ending.
I thought we were done. And they're high-fiving. In right case in you couldn't hear the high five, they're high-fiving each other. That's what they're doing.
Hey. I got to tell you guys about this conversation I had with my wife the other day.
Okay.
So I told her when I died, I wanted to be cremated.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why the hell do you want to be cremated? I said, this is my last chance to have a hot smoking body.
Oh, that's a pretty picture.
Okay. We recently filled out the wills at our house. And I asked my wife to spread my remains around Disneyland.
Really?
But not cremated.
You are a twisted.
Did you ever hear the one? No, is it like when I die, will you please be the one that takes my cell phone and then text everybody, thank you for coming?
Thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up after the funeral. It means a lot to me that you came to the funeral.
Oh, all right, Jake, tell us where we can find out more.
How do they get out of this podcast? Yeah,
pardon me for clearing my throat in the middle of that too. We want to say thanks for watching. We want to grow the podcast. We want more people to have access to the information and to know about it. So if you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, or if you can subscribe on whatever audio platform or visual platform that you want to watch, YouTube or somewhere else, please do so. Tell a friend. What do they say? Tell a friend. I can't even think of the saying. I bumbled that
one. I don't know.
Tell somebody about the podcast. Help us raise awareness for the podcast. We love doing this and we love sharing the information and we love the feedback that we get from you guys. If you have a question that you would like answered, or if you just want to say nice things to Pete loves positive affirmations. Questions at Unbuild It Podcast. If you're trying to reach any of us, especially Pete, because like I said, he likes positive affirmations.
We should just change like the, what is it? The Q&A or whatever to questions for Pete.
Yeah. Questions for Pete. And there is a new platform in which you can now view the podcast and hear it through the video format. It is the buildshownetwork.com. We recently joined the ranks.
We're in their studio.
We are recording today from their studio.
Live from the studio, Build Show Network studio.
Cool.
It's smooth outros. That's what we're known for here. So we just want to say thanks for watching today. Tell a friend. And
I can do my... like monster truck rally guy. Like, thanks for coming to the truck. Forget it.
Have a good day.
So long.
See y'all. See what I did there?